So a few words before we get started. Yesterday we had two graveside services in the Memorial Garden. Some of us may remember Jim Wiggins. His brother had died a few years ago, and his wife Sue died recently. So they waited till we could put the ashes together, and we interred both Bill and Sue Wiggins in our Memorial Garden yesterday. And Alan Cockrell. Alan is Roger Cockrell's brother. He was coming to church, sitting in the back, and he developed cancer, and he died this past week. So he is, the family's down in Mississippi. It's where Roger's family is from, so we want to give thanks for the life of Alan. Pastor Dave was part of a Eagle Scout ceremony. It was a great event at Sleepy Hollow United Methodist Church. I went over there and the preacher was there. She said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "I'm part of this Eagle Scout service for tonight." So it was for Zach Hardy. So Zach, raise your hand, stand up, and let's show our love to Zach. Yeah, that's great. Zach did the Memorial Garden redo for us and the book nook, and it's a used place, so we give thanks for that. Some of you remember a young man, Josh Randall. Josh Randall would sit kind of over here, bring some friends with him, and he has moved to Mississippi. I got one of these emails out of the blue telling me he had gotten married, and he is going to run for the primary for the Republican Senate, for the Senate seat in Mississippi as a Republican. So we'll see how well he does. So kind of keep on the lookout for his name. We'll see how well he does. But that's all good news that we have him to be part of the political system for that. So if we heard Luke for today, it doesn't sound very good what's happening in the life of the community there. And so as I read that and then looked at Isaiah, I thought about some things that don't look too good for us. And I made a list. It's an exhausting list, but I thought about things that are happening in our world and community. Impeachment. School shootings. Murdering, killing someone over a Popeye sandwich. Flooding in Venice. Poor school performance. DACA, immigration, trade wars, tariffs, student debt, government deficits, ripping off the helmet of a football player and hitting him in the head, church division. I thought to myself, is there any good? And then I thought about Dave Lowe. He preached a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about things being half full and half empty. And he proclaimed himself to be a half empty person. But praise the Lord, his wife, Sunita, is a half full place person. And we recognized Sunita. She stood and we all clapped. We clapped for a half full person. There's been a study done of people when they wake up in the morning till when they go to bed. They had them write down the thoughts that they had throughout the day. 80% of our thoughts are negative. 80%. 80% where we complain about things. 80% where we don't have a good outlook on life. 80% of our thoughts are negative. Fear, anger, anxiety. God does not want our lives to be half empty. God does not want our lives to be half full, but God wants our lives to be what? Full. And it is pronounced by the prophet Isaiah today in Isaiah 65. Isaiah lived in a time of great division and uncertainty. They had been exiled, the Jewish folks, the Hebrews, for 70 years in Babylon, and now they have returned to their homeland, and they think, wow, it's going to be great as when we left. And they come to the Holy Land, to Israel, and they see that there is just desolation everywhere. There are no houses. There are no wells. There's no food. There's no crops. There's nothing. They're disappointed. They are a pilgrim people. And yet the prophet Isaiah gives them a roadmap that God will provide if we put all of our life and all of our energy to helping others and to worship God and to be obedient to God. But there is this little word, three letters, sin. Sin that keeps us apart from God and keeps us apart from others. Isaiah gives the image that everyone will have a house. Everyone will have work. Everyone will live to a great age. There will be no more infant mortality. People will have all the food they want, all the drink that they want. He even mentions about a wolf and a lamb will lie together. If a wolf and a lamb were together, that lamb wouldn't last very long unless that lamb got away. Isaiah gives the image of a lion eating straw like an ox. And then gives this wonderful image about the serpent, which represents sin. And it says, its food shall be dust. Its food shall be dust. We all wish that we could live a perfect life, one of utopia. When we started the New World and the Puritans and Pilgrims came to New England and they were coming there to start a new kingdom on earth. And then they realized that there wasn't enough land for everybody and greed took place. And that image of a city on the hill didn't last. After the Civil War, when America was in such turmoil, there was this group of folks that said, let's start utopia. Let's have these little towns called utopia. And they were scattered all over the nation, utopia. And there's only one left, a little town in Texas of 250 people. For Christians, we remember in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what we're called to do, to create this kingdom on earth where everyone loves God and loves neighbors. It's unfortunate, though, that we get caught up in all of ourself and forget to think about the other. There is, I've been mentioning to you about Shift Plus. There is a Shift Plus, and it's where Nancy Royster and Alan Chen and I, we go to a district meeting with about 15 other churches, and we are trained how to train you in hospitality. And so we had one this past few, a couple weeks ago. It was on generosity. And we had, they sent us an email. They said, bring your church budget with you. And I thought, oh, Lord, here we go. So I brought the church budget, and they got about talking about generosity and about generosity is how we help people in our community and in our world and in our space. And they said, I want you to look at your church budget and look at the amount of money that you spend on helping others, divide it by the whole budget, and see what numbers you come up with. And so churches were calling out their numbers, 1%, 2%, 0.5%, 3%. Folks, I was feeling good because you know what? I shouted out, 19%! You know, come on, 19%! We are not half empty folks. We are not a 2% church. We're not a 3% church. We're a 19% church. I felt I wanted to say to Alan and Nancy, it's time to go home. Let's go. We're done. We've wasted our time here today. Had other things to do. But you know, people look at the church so many times as half empty. Doolin is not a half-empty church. We're a half-full church moving towards what?
Full.
Being full. You're exactly right. Let me share with you two examples of how we are becoming, moving from half-empty to full. We know, I mentioned a lot about Homestretch, and some of us were here. The buyer of Volvo Group helped to sponsor that event. And we as well here. And to hear the stories, and each person that came to tell the story thanked Doolin Church because they know that the success of their lives are based in part on everyone in these pews. The amount of violence that some of these women go through by their husbands, spouses, children. People that are like those Hebrews going to a new land when they get out of that life of misery and abuse and hurt and pain, and they leave it and there is nothing. There is no house. There is no food. There are no clothes. And thank goodness for places like Homestretch that we support. They're able to find those things and get a new life ahead of them. To tell their stories, it's remarkable. Let me share one more with you, and it's a new ministry that we have been part of. It's Free Minds. Alan Chin is one of our disciples that works for Free Minds. This group helps persons that have been incarcerated through the DC jail system and need to get going again once they get out. You see, the dilemma is DC does not have a federal, there is not a federal jail prison in DC. And they help a lot of these young people that are tried as adults. And so they are sent to places all over the nation, apart from their family, because there is not a prison in the district. And so we invited one of their persons to come speak to us. His name is Cliff. Cliff was incarcerated for 35 years for a crime he did not commit. There was a group that heard about his story and worked through it and discovered through advanced technology that this was a crime that he did not commit. Can you imagine being in a jail, in a prison cell for 35 years for something you knew you did not do? So he gets out. And here is this ministry in DC that says, we will help you. We will help you reconnect to your family. We will help you reconnect to the community in which you live. And specifically, we will help you learn to read because there are so many people that can't even read. And this group sends books into the prisons for these folks to read, to learn to read. And then they emphasize poetry. And then they have people write, these persons, they write the poems, they send them out, and we're given an opportunity to react to them. And so there is one guy, his name is Cliff. He spoke to our youth group, and he came and spoke to our church as well. And his story is remarkable of 35 years. And, you know, when he spoke, I felt there was no anger. I felt in his voice disappointment and hurt and pain. But he wrote this poem, and what I'm going to do is, it's a wonderful poem, and I'm going to read it, and I'll ask you to respond back, all right? First service, I had to do it again, so let's be ready, all right? The title of it is called, What is Life? So let's try it together. Life is a challenge.
Life is a challenge.
Meet it.
Meet
Life is a gift.
Life is a gift.
Accept it.
Accept it.
Life is an adventure.
Life is an adventure.
Dare it.
Dare it.
Life is sorrow.
Life is sorrow.
Overcome it.
Overcome it.
Life is a tragedy.
Face it.
Life is a duty.
Perform it.
Life is a game.
Play it.
Life is a mystery.
Unfold it.
Life is a song.
Sing it.
Life is an opportunity.
Take it.
Life is a journey.
Complete it.
Life is a promise.
Fulfill it.
Life is a beauty.
Praise it.
Life is a struggle.
Fight it.
Life is a goal.
Achieve it.
Life is a puzzle.
Solve it.
What beautiful words. So this Sunday, starting this week, you'll be receiving your generosity card in the mail. We'll have Generosity Sunday next Sunday. And in there is a letter from me, there's the pledge card, and there's your statement through the end of October. But I hope that for each of us, as we look at our commitment, our generosity for next week, that we say to ourselves that I want Doolin Church to be a full church. I want us to be a full church. We're not half empty, praise the Lord. We're half full. But what can we do together as a team, as a church, that we can be full in the eyes of God? That's my commitment to you. And let's do it together. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we all say together, Amen.